The Church Media Podcast, episode 167, When God Calls the Heart, with Brian Bird, part one. Let's do it.
This is the Church Media Podcast,
the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
Exclusive interviews and church media training from the best minds in ministry and Christian entertainment.
Useful, practical content in the areas of audio, lighting, video, stage design, volunteer culture, and more.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here, especially if you are new to the show. Glad to have you. You can check out more information about our show, get transcripts, free resources and tools, and take a deep dive into the archives of the 166 episodes that have come before this one at our podcast website, thechurchmediapodcast.com. If you are new to the show, or if you've been listening since the beginning, you can check out that URL for additional content, thechurchmediapodcast.com. This week's show is awesome. I cannot wait to share my interview with Hollywood veteran Brian Bird with you. Brian is a 30-year veteran in the entertainment industry. He is a writer and producer. He has written and produced dozens of episodes of television shows and screenplays for movies. You know, do you remember the show Step by Step in the 90s with Patrick Duffy, Suzanne Summers, The Code Man? Well, Brian wrote that show. He was the executive story editor. Also Touched by an Angel with Roma Downey, Brian was a writer and producer of that show. He's also written and produced films like The Last Sin Eater, The Ultimate Life, Saving Sarah Kane, Captive, The Case for Christ. He's also the writer and executive producer of a little show called When Calls the Heart for the Hallmark Channel. This man is a veteran of film and television, and he is a committed Christian. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll be talking with Brian about his journey over the years, some behind-the-scenes stories of When Calls the Heart, and some writing and producing tips that you can take and use as you create your own content and serve your team at your church. You see, we can all look at other churches to see what they're doing and how they are accomplishing things, and that's wise. But I also want us to learn from all kinds of people in the media industry. Music artists, writers, producers, directors, performers. I believe we look inward a little too much, and we need to broaden our scope a little and learn from other people in the industry. That's why we bring on not only guys that are creating worship experiences in churches week to week, but other people in the industry as well. All right, let's get to it. Part one of my interview with writer-producer Brian Bird is after this.
And now, your church media tip of the week. Useful tips and tricks to help you transform the worship experiences at your church. Here's Carl Barnhill.
People want to enjoy where they serve. They want and long for community. There are always things that you can do, even on a small budget, to create an exciting place for people to serve. A church media tip for you this week is to provide team events for your volunteer team. Events bring people together. It gives them time to talk, to hang out, to play games, and experience things with each other. You could even create an entire events team within your production team. You could ask one of your production volunteers to lead the team. I tried this at one church that I served and it worked great. My only guidelines for the team was that we wanted to see one big event every quarter, like a team-wide cookout, a Christmas party, a big celebration, and one small event every month. That's right, every month we had some small type of event. This was just small things that we could throw on our Facebook page, and if people could make it, great. If they couldn't, they could catch the next one. Small things like going to see a movie, grabbing lunch or dinner after we served together on Sunday, a meet at Frankie's Fun Park this Saturday for mini golf and go-karts, stuff like that. Having consistent events allowed our team to bond and spend time together outside of serving on a Sunday. Try it. Create an events team and be intentional about providing events for your production volunteers.
Get more free coaching for your production team through our blog, podcast, and online resource library. visit 1230.media/training today. This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
My guest today is Brian Bird. Brian has been a writer and producer in Hollywood for over 30 years, working on shows like Touched by an Angel and Step by Step. He is the executive producer and co-creator of the Hallmark television series When Calls the Heart. He is also the co-author of the new devotional book When God Calls the Heart, Devotions from Hope Valley. Brian, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Carl. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, before I dive into some questions, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your background. Now, you started as a reporter and then moved into television. Is that right?
Yeah, I was a journalist first, and a newspaper reporter, and did some magazine work. And way back in 1983, goes back a long time, I had an opportunity to experiment with fiction, and the experiment turned into an episode of an old show, which you may or may not remember. You have to be sort of a baby, an older baby boomer to remember this show, but it was called Fantasy Island.
Yeah, okay.
And I had an opportunity to write an episode of that show, and it got on the air. And so I'm a 25-year-old journalist watching my name flash on ABC television, with 20 other million people around the country watching it. And it was a real interesting eye-opener for me to be able to do that, and just kind of whet my appetite to do more of those kinds of things. And my career ultimately morphed into doing that full-time, and I've been doing it now since the late 80s.
And you kind of moved in, maybe 90s, moved into Touched by an Angel, Step by Step, which I grew up with that group of shows, that Step by Step, Family Matters, Full House, that Friday
right.
night block, and you were a part of Step by Step, right?
What, I sure was.
What were the 90s, that period, like for you?
Well, you know what? It was interesting because I started out as a journalist and writing the five W's, the who, what, where, why, and how, and the H, right? And so that was sort of my MO as when I first started writing. And when I kind of gravitated into fiction and then ultimately comedy during the 1990s, it expanded my repertoire and my taste buds to sort of write anything that somebody put in front of me. And so I actually did nearly about eight seasons of comedy during the 1990s, writing for half-hour comedy. And, that's kind of about as far away as you can get from journalism. But it was just a lot of fun in it, and it taught me some new skills that I still rely on today, because every good drama needs some humor, and every good comedy needs drama.
Yeah. Now, I've talked on the podcast before that we need to be excellent at our craft, and if we are, then in other environments outside of church world, we'll be welcome at the table, so to speak, as a creative. Do you feel this way? What's your take on maybe being a believer in Hollywood?
You know, I do, Carl. I do believe that there's no conspiracy against, the church or the family in Hollywood. I think that, it's a function of whose butts are in the chairs there.
Right.
The golden rule applies. In Hollywood, it's slightly different. He who has the gold makes the rules in Hollywood. And so, if you show yourself approved and you become excellent at what you do, you could be a Hindu Martian and they wouldn't, they wouldn't care as long as you did the work well and showed some excellence. And so now look, certainly there are people who have a bias against people of faith. I won't deny that. But what I've found is that if you earn the right to be at the table in the film and TV business, you know, they're fairly tolerant of anybody, you know, anybody's belief system. You know, they're not looking for you to go preach at people, but I've never been, you know, about that either. I would rather love people over into what I believe and make it winsome so that they want to ask more questions. Yes, I'm totally with you. You know, if you go back and look at all the great art in history, the greatest art in history during the Renaissance came out of the church. The church actually patronized it and paid for it. And it came out of the Christian consensus, if you will. And yet, in the last 100 years or so, in our culture, you know, the church has tried to remain separate from the world, and that has included, you know, declining to be involved in the arts. And I just think that's a massive mistake when Christians check out from the arts. We need to be part of the conversation, because the conversation is going to happen with or without us. So if we don't be part of the conversation, we're going to have zero influence on it.
Right, and I look at guys like you, and I know I've talked before about guys like Mark Burnett, who's a producer in Hollywood, and Roma Downey, who you've worked with on Touched by an Angel,
yes.
And you know,
friend.
People like that that are you know, strong and producing things in Hollywood. They have a voice at the table, and I even look at conservative guys, not really you know, believers, but guys like Jerry Bruckheimer, who. You know, have conservative views, but their craft is respected because they're great
right.
at what they do. And so I think that's, you know, it's very strong what you said about just being a part of the conversation, just being there at the table and being excellent at our craft. Now, my wife is a huge fan of When Calls the Heart. Me and you met at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention of earlier this year, a few months ago.
Yes.
And you were
yes.
sharing the story of how the show came about. And I thought it was extremely interesting, especially how the movie, TV movie was broken up and it was kind of split apart. I would love for you to share that story with our audience if you have a few minutes.
I would love to, Carl. You know, back in 2007, 2008, when we were first... my partner and I, Michael Landon Jr., on, you know, he's my partner on When Calls the Heart and other projects. When we first started working on the idea of doing a movie for When Calls the Heart, it was all systems go until September of 2008, when the sky was falling on everybody. Lehman Brothers went down on September 15th. AIG followed soon thereafter, and the economic sky was falling on everybody. We just so happened to be in the middle of production on the movie of When Calls the Heart when that happened, and our financing melted down halfway through. And that, you know... in the film and TV business, that's absolutely the worst thing that can happen to you. It's like getting, you know, a brain tumor on your project. Mm. And it was a horrible situation because we had to, you know, we had to close the production down and send everybody home, and including ourselves. And we came home sort of with our tail between our legs. We were filming in Alberta, Canada, and it was going so well until that point, and we didn't know what to do, because when that happens, when you have a half-finished film, it's actually not anything. It's not worth anything. It's not, you know, it's just a bunch of stuff that you know, doesn't make any sense and can't be used for anything. And so we came home sort of feeling like, wow, maybe I had been doing this business for 25 years, and I had never been through anything that traumatizing or that hard. And I told my wife, I said, maybe I'm done with this. Maybe I just need to go look for a regular job here, a day job. and stop with this because it's just too hard. And, you know, my pastor sort of heard through the grapevine. He's a guy named Rick Warren, who you may have heard about.
Yeah.
He wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, and the pastor of Saddleback Church for the last 35 years in California. And he said to me, he called me, and he said, "I heard about what happened to you, but what made you think it was going to be so easy?" And I said, "Well, Pastor Rick, it's never been easy. It's always been hard. I just didn't think it was going to be this hard." And he sort of, you know, he kind of kicked my butt a little bit. He said, "Well, if we were opening up a clinic in Rwanda or someplace like that, and the tribal chieftains had burned it to the ground, or the government had robbed it blind, what you're doing is no different than that. What you're doing is the culture desperately needs, but they're not asking for. You're swimming upstream." So, in essence, he was saying to me, you know, there's no room for pity party here, buddy. If you're called to do something, there's no such thing as being uncalled. And so it was a great sort of come to Jesus meeting that I had there on the phone with him. And you know what? We didn't give up. And it took us 3 years, but we were able to finish the movie 3 years later. And it was a struggle, and it was hard, and there were a lot of near misses along the way, but we didn't give up, and we were actually able to finish that movie. And that movie became the pilot, essentially, episode for When Calls the Heart, the series. And, you know, in hindsight, had we not had the sky not fallen on us, and we had finished the movie way back in 2008, you know, it likely would have been just a one nice movie. It would have been a one-off opportunity. And but when, you know, 3 years later, when we were finishing up the movie, that was when the Hallmark Channel was deciding that it wanted to get into the series business. And like I said, had we not had that delay, we might never have gotten to that point with When Calls the Heart, the series. And now we're heading into season 6 with the show, and it's just been growing. And there's been a wave of support for it, and a fan group, and who call themselves Hardys, who are worldwide now. And so we would have never experienced any of that had we not had to go through our wilderness experience on it.
Now, one thing I thought that was very interesting that you had shared is that you had to break the movie apart and do flashbacks, and it became this where you piece together the footage that you shot earlier and then the new footage. How did that, walk me through that. How did that go?
Yeah, so along the way, you know, actors get busy and their careers take off. And so our two leading actors that we had started with in the original movie production were no longer available to us at the point at which we could finish the movie. And so we had to really suck it up and say, okay, well, either we have to abandon everything and start over from scratch, or we can take that 11 days of beautiful 35 millimeter footage and figure out a way to use it. And so what came to us was the idea that we would project the story forward 20 years, and that all of the filming that we had done in 2008 would become journal entries. And so we invented a new heroine who's the niece of the heroine that we shot in the first movie, Elizabeth Thatcher, 20 years earlier in our new storytelling. And we allowed our new young niece, namesake, Elizabeth, so she's got the same name as her aunt, finds a journal and begins to read about her aunt and her adventures as a teacher on the prairie. And it inspires her to want to become a teacher too. And so by doing that, we were able to preserve all the beautiful production that we had done prior to that. But then we we bookended, essentially we had finished the middle of the movie, and so we still needed the first and the third act to finish in 2012. And so when we were able to finish it, we essentially used new actors in new roles. We projected that new storytelling forward 20 years. And so everything that we shot became this kind of rich tableau of journal memories and journal flashbacks, journal entries that our new young heroine, Elizabeth Thatcher, was envisioning in as she was reading and thinking about her aunt. So initially we thought, okay, well, is this really going to work? Is anybody going to buy this? And you know, it was sort of a flyer that we went on, and I'm not going to say the Hallmark Channel didn't have a few questions, but they loved the whole presentation so much that they said, okay, let's go for it. And when we cut it all together, initially we thought, okay, well, everybody's going to see this coming, that this was sort of a project that we had to abandon and then restart and finish. And yet, when it was tested for focus group testing and for audiences, the 3 million people who watched it originally on the Hallmark Channel, nobody thought that.
Yeah,
everybody loved the multi-generational storytelling that we had envisioned for this. And so it turned out yet one more example of how God had put his protection around us for this whole project, and how it may not have been the way we thought it was going to go, that it was still a true blessing, ultimately, that everybody seemed to enjoy.
I think that's a good note for church media guys as well, guys at churches and guys producing their own content, is that, you know, God may call you to a project, you don't know where it's going necessarily, or you might get derailed, and to step in and be creative and try to piece it together, or to try to know how to pray it through and deal with those situations, I think is a good note for church media guys as well.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
Inspired by best-selling author Jeanette Oak and the Hallmark Channel original TV series When Calls the Heart comes When God Calls the Heart, a new devotional series. In this collection of devotionals and journals, Brian Bird, executive producer and co-creator of When Calls the Heart, and author Michelle Cox illuminate the God moments from the fictional mining town of Hope Valley, the stories of faith, hope, and love from each episode that will touch your soul, inspire, and encourage you with wonderful virtues and life lessons. Get When God Calls the Heart, When God Calls the Heart at Christmas, and Journal Companions from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or ChristianBooks.com. You can also visit WhenGodCallsTheHeart.com for more information. That's WhenGodCallsTheHeart.com.
For more resources and additional content on this episode of the podcast, including a transcript, links, and helpful tools for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com/167. That's thechurchmediapodcast.com/167.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, we'll wrap our two-part series with Brian Bird. More to come on the story behind When Calls the Heart, a really incredible story of how the show turned into an incredible movement of people helping other people. Really extraordinary. You'll hear that story next week on the show. And thank you guys for listening this week. I hope you're not only getting practical content that you can use at your church or in your ministry, but you're having some fun as well. So go out there and create some incredible experiences this weekend at your church. I'll catch you next week.
The Church Media Podcast is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media
and produced by David Michael Hyde. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com.